I wanna know your name.
Shame it is the way you break the hearts of every man you see.
I got Jesse,
he got Jesse.
All the love.
Everybody plays a fool sometimes.
Little girl, please stop your crying. Get you by golly, while you're the one that I've been waiting for. I wish that I could talk to you, baby, so that I can let you know.
Why I love you, girl.
The 2000s. hugs, honoring unforgettable groups of soul for what y'all have done. To those that have passed away or no longer performing for whatever reason, we want y'all to know that whether it's a reunion concert or in the afterlife, when we get there, we can't wait to see you again. Wherever y'all do it, you know we all going
to see you again.
I want to see the Temptation, more vocal groups, man. Just one group carrying the torch is mindless behavior. We need more. Capricorn. And my name is Charles.
Stereo in
life. Take it back.
Where you hear
the photo you see in black, drifting, coaster, artistic, famous plane, life. Paul the President, the temporary Newberg, soldier, the independent, the continent, the first lost, the brightest side of dark horse, the heavy, dynamic,
it's always a pleasure
great. To hear you again.
In the mid-type, immature, broken, something for the people.
All right, guys, we're back. I hope you enjoyed that. The name of that audio clip was Luke Hugs. And I can't wait for you to go on YouTube and watch the actual video to appreciate it for, the definite value, because you got to see it. I mean, it's a beautiful song when you listen to it. But you got to watch it because of the cinematography. It really tells a story, and you got to follow the narrative in order to really, really truly get the message. And speaking of message, you know, the person who's coming on today, it's about messages. I mean, it's just amazing how, that this person's brain works. I truly, truly have to say I can identify with this creative process. And I forgot to ask him. There's something I want to ask him, which I'll do on the other side, about Damon John, who I want to show his work out there. But anyway, I'm putting too much of my business out in the street. I just was rattling just for a second because, I get so excited when I'm talking about cinematography and it has anything to do with film. I get so excited. 929-477-1167 is the number to call. Again, this isn't exclusive. I'm giving you an intimate look into this today's guest, whose name I keep butchering. He just gave me a full thought on it, and I still want to call him Chad. And he says, Chad. Like that, Boston, or Charles Boston, but it's the next. Right, exactly. I'm going to keep working on it. I'm just going to call him Mr. B today. What I'm going to do, that way I won't mess it up too much. But I am really, really excited. I'm just going to jump right into this because I don't want to take up too much of time today. And I do want you to learn as much as you can about this person, because like I said, he's multifaceted. So what I want to do at this time is go on and open up these links. Welcome to the show. I really appreciate you for taking out your time. I hope you get the point. Welcome. Jeez, that was loud. Nice to be here and there.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. Is it? Do we have other people on the show?
Yeah, there will be other people. Yeah, there will be other people listening. Why you don't want to talk to me? I want you to myself.
No. What I wanted. The reason I asked is because I wanted to know how intimate the conversation will be this time. Because if we have somebody, then I welcome them like I did before. But if not.
Yeah.
Then the idea that right now is just me and Mrs. Jones.
Right. Oh, I love that, right? She used to sing that to my mom all the time, too. But no, there are people on the board. There are people listening in and there. And here in just a few minutes, I'm actually going to open up Omar Tyree, Mike.
Oh.
I want to ask you a few questions. He keeps dipping in and out, so I just want to make sure he's in a stable position, because I want to make sure that the audio quality of today's show is up to par, because I do share this with other networks, and quite a few of them are terrestrial radio networks. So I want to make sure that we get your message out and definitely you know, doing a great unveil as it relates to your creative process, which I am here in a braggadocious kind of mode because I really, really want to talk about that. But anyway, before we get started and before I go in, you know, like I said, to the part I want to get to, I really, truly want you to not so much start from the beginning because we talked about that the last interview, but let's just start with you telling me what drew you to the music industry.
What drove me to the music industry is just my passion for the art. I've always loved music. I mean, you know, whenever you're really young, you don't have a recollection of the things that you did when you were 2 and 3. But my mom, you know, she told me when I was 2 years old, I used to DJ the parties that she had when she would have friends come over. And it's not that I knew what I was doing. It's just that, like, I would play records based on the colored labels on the 45 and the LP. And I knew what song and where to go on the record to play it. It was just always in my blood. And at a certain point, I had that little moment of clarity where I just realized that this is just me, and I have to do it. Even when there was no money being made from it or there was any interest that anyone was showing toward it, even when I hadn't even put anything out, it was just like it was something I had to do.
Gotcha. And so since we're talking about that, then who, whether at that time or later on, did you consider inspiration? But is what I am asking is who inspired you, past, present, and future?
Several artists inspired me, but I guess I would say it started with Stevie. That's where that's what really catapulted me toward the industry and trying to become a part of it. His artistry, his musicianship.
Gotcha. Yeah, I noticed that in a lot of your interviews, you wear a shirt with a song on it, and that definitely shows that you really go in, you really go hard. It's a true, true inspiration. Because from that, I want to know, because like I said, this is me introducing you to the world, letting them know video pretty much tells the story. Your website does a really good job giving us your backstory. But I really want to, you know, go into the, you know, have an intimate conversation with you and talk more about the creative processes I've been bragging about this entire show. Okay, so since I'm talking about it, why don't you go on and explain it? Because, I don't know, I get speechless every time I say it. You're one of the first interviews I've had that where I feel a creative connection. Do you know what I mean? Like most people,
come a little closer, I guess, to the mouthpiece or something, because I missed a little piece of that. It was going in and out. I wanted to know what you wanted me to speak to, like speak about.
I wanted you to explain your creative process. Because I've been bragging about that all day.
Oh, okay. Well, it's different with different projects. Some of them you start on from scratch. Sometimes, and when I say from scratch, like you may start with no music and no melody, no song, just an idea. Other ones, like there's been times where I had a track that somebody brought to me and they wanted me to write something to it. And then I'll just work around it. Like I'll walk around listening to the track all day. All day. I mean, just like literally on repeat all day. And little pieces will come to me and then all of a sudden I'll get the idea or the concept where I want to go. And then that gives it structure. I can give you an example of the process for Group Hug, since we're kind of talking about that. Group Hug started out as just something that I would do as a tribute song that was going to be about, you know, no more than 4 minutes. And then I got all these ideas to pay homage to the groups that I was familiar with. And in the beginning, it was all over the place. It was like I sung like a little clip, a 5-second clip by the Ravens from the 1940s. And then I went to the 60s where I sang something by the Delphonics. And then I went to the Cadillacs. And then I bounced to the 80s and did Full Force. And then I said, you know, it's got to be a better way to arrange it. So then that's where arranging comes in. You got to say, well, what is the best way to do it? So I figured that rather than do it like that, I would do it by decade. So people would be able to, they'd be familiar with a greater volume of the work all at once as opposed to it being all scattered around. So it's a different process with each song. It's different.
Gotcha. And in that answer, you answered my next question because we're very specific on the website. Again, I don't want to touch on stuff that we've already touched on or that people could learn just by reading, you know, the things that you feature on your website. But you answered the question about hidden meaning in your music because you, when I read your bio, it specifically stated that, you know, you do music. I don't want to slaughter it, so I'm going to read it. Because actually, it's on the website. You do music. You're working for kind of a flaw. And that means a lot because it you can tell, you know, when a person is just doing something because it's trending, because, you know, it's being asked of them to do. You can really, truly tell when they're passionate about it. And because of that, we are able to extrapolate your meaning and, you know, from your work. And I was able to do that. There are going to be two songs that I will play today, Pretext, which I've got, and then your intro, which I wanted to play. I'm going to play that as we bring in so that he can ask you more questions and we can delve further into your you as an artist. But
okay.
Yeah, so you answered that question. And so I, again, just want to give people a little snapshot of who you are, because I'm going to take this and put this in the other interview, merge those two, and come up with something very, very powerful. Because you're the first person out of all the interviews I've done that I connect with on a creative level. So I appreciate you that, and that's why I'm going the distance to do this. So I want to ask
thanks. That's
you're
huge
very welcome. That. Yeah, you're very, very welcome. I have been pushing people to your YouTube channel and telling them that the music doesn't give it the justice that it deserves. And go to your YouTube channel and watch it and see it. Yes, it's a beautiful song, and you're listening to it, beautiful music. But they've definitely got to get over there to that page and also your website, because you do feature quite a few videos on your website. But can you tell us just to, you know, audio candy, just for people who are listening, people that you collaborated with. I know a lot of it is narrative driven, but there are a few people that were featured on your website. So can you go on at this time and tell us the people about a few of your collaborations?
Yeah. Well, most notably, I guess, in the scheme of Mound Records, that would have to be the young artist Haley Smith, and she was the first person that I put out on the label, and we did a song called I Miss My Daddy together, and you know, we put the video out last year, and then we did a radio campaign for the song this year for the first time. Like, we did all digital market. We released the song, and it did really well. It went to like number 14 on the top 150.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second song, the follow-up song, We're Gonna Be All Right, it went to number 3 just a couple weeks ago. It reached number 3 on the DRT top 150. And that was a really, it was a fun project, you know, shooting it. I had a chance to direct it, and it was just really, really good. I think people might walk away with something if they saw the video, which is available on the YouTube channel.
Yeah, And also, you've got a few things I just wanted to make sure people understand on his website, and there are a lot of links there. If you go to mounrecords.com or Google him, does that redirect you? Because I thought I Googled your name and then went to that. But anyway, the name of the website, again, is, you go to www.mounrecords.com. And while we're talking about that, that's an acronym for what? You mind sharing that with us? Like I said, just taking people
sure.
behind the scenes and trying to do it real fast.
Okay. All right. It's an acronym for Makings of Unforgettable New Record. And it drives
gotcha.
The point that I'm doing my own thing. Get it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're almost reading my mind, which I can definitely appreciate because you answered two of the questions that I had for you, and that is I wanted to ask you, like, you know, what really my phone drinking? I'm sorry. I work as a consultant full-time, and one of my clients has a show tonight, the other tomorrow. So forgive me if I look down at the phone and it seems like I'm a little distracted. I am not. I'm totally, totally focused on you, but I didn't know if you could hear that because both phones are going off, you know, right now. It's really, really weird that it's happening now because I should have put that other phone on mute. But you did answer the question, and that was, what is the favorite part about doing what you do? You told us that because I could really, really hear it in your music. I could hear it in the interview that, you know, when I vetted you on YouTube today. So you mentioned it, and it, again, guys, if you go to the YouTube channel, you'll definitely be able to answer that because he's very, very specific. And then I wanted to ask you because I didn't get a chance to, like, really see your performances and stuff. I see your work. I hear your music, and I will want to open up the line because I try not to ask questions that I know the people who are listening in will probably ask you because of the tour schedule or your practice sessions or, you know, any kind of rituals or something you have, so I try to stay away from that. But I do want to know because you seem so calm all the time whenever I talk to you, so put together. Do you have, like, ever had performance anxiety or anything like that? And I'm asking that question with purpose.
Yeah, that's natural, though. You have to have some kind of anxiety when you're getting ready to perform because, I think you do have those anxieties when you're very concerned about how your performance will be perceived. If you really don't care, then you won't really feel that kind of anxiety. But when you take it seriously, and it means something to you that everybody gets something out of your performance, yeah, you're going to be anxious because you're going to feel like, well, man, I want to make sure that this is delivered properly. And going back
mm-hmm.
to what you said a second ago, as far as people being able to relate with what I'm doing, I really take that seriously because when I'm writing the stuff, I'm always asking myself, well, are they going to interpret this the way that I want them to? Because sometimes we have an idea in our head, but it doesn't come through the ink as well.
Gotcha.
You know, so you want to make sure, you got to make sure you're using the right words or phrases that would capture the feeling that you're trying to get across. And when
mm-hmm.
you get that line or something that you write, sometimes you say, well, wait a minute, this is dope right here. I loved it. But then, see, I'm the kind of person you might think that I'm a little compulsive with a little bit something, where I'd be happy with a line, but then I say, can I make a line better than this? And I'll know that it can't be another line better than this. But I can't say waste time, but I'll really go through the motions and spend that little extra time seeing if there's another way that I could say it that'll resonate even more to the listener. And once I see that I can't or feel that I can't, then I know that that's the line that I'm going to use. And usually when
mm-hmm.
I write like that, that gets through to the people. So it's a formula
gotcha.
That works. Yeah. And I stick to it.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Again, you answered another one of my questions because I wanted to ask you, did you have any advice for someone wanting to follow in your footsteps? Because I asked you the last question, because we do have a lot of young listeners, a lot of people very anxious to get into the entertainment business. And I come in it kind of biased a little bit because I've been on both sides, and I tell them the good, the bad, and the indifferent about this, because people only see the part that's glorified. They don't really understand once you tap into your passion. Yeah, that's why they make it look easy, fun, and exciting, but there's a lot of hard work that goes into it. So I know what you just said, definitely putting a pin in that, because you said it well and you elaborated. But do you also have anything else that's specific to our young listeners who are vying to get into this entertainment industry, or people who sort of kind of, you know, they're fans of yours and just want to follow in your footsteps and maybe do something on the surface similar to this, like me, a videographer, or, you know what I'm saying, not so much music, but follow in your footsteps because they like a lot of what you're doing because there's so many layers to you. Did I confuse you? Because I know there was a lot.
I'm just trying to process. I'm trying to process the whole, like, the totality of your question, because it was kind of multifaceted. But I would say that if to anyone listening who the music business, I would say that if you're thinking about getting into it to be famous, you're going to be very disappointed in the long run, because if you're getting into it for that, you're only going to wind up getting a little fame for a little while, and then you're going to be dejected and depressed because you're not going to have money toward the end. The money comes when you develop your craft, and you only develop your craft when you're serious about what you're doing. You got a lot of people who want the fame, but they don't want to work.
Mm-hmm.
And you shouldn't really want the fame. The fame should be something that you're willing to accept as a byproduct of your passion, that thing that you have to do. And for the people that don't really care about the fame, they'd be willing to stay in the background and do work because it's just something that they have to do and they don't necessarily need the fame. I think the best thing would be to, if you want to do or participate in this business, learn the business, understand mm-hmm. the business, so that you know how to count your money whenever people start appreciating what you do. And you should never underestimate how you can grow in the game, in the music business, because it may be something that you don't necessarily like to do or something that you may not feel you like to do. For instance, I never liked writing when I was a little kid. Ever. Mm-hmm. I thought it was just something. Writing was for suckers. You know, we had to be verbal. We had to be verbal, right, especially when it came to, like, talking to a girl or something. It was no text messaging or none of that. You had to go and talk to her if you wanted to win her over. You know, so I only looked at writing when hip-hop came out, because as a kid, it was taboo to write or recite a lyric or a rhyme that you didn't write. You get laughed out of the hood. You'd be dissed up and down the block and people knew that you was biting off of somebody else. So mm-hmm. I had to learn how to write. And in doing that, I kind of developed a love for it. And before you know it, I was really good at it. I mean, ghostwriting letters for people coming to you at work and asking you to write a letter to the supervisor because they couldn't get something or whatever the case is. You just become good at it. And then you mentioned being a videographer before. I never thought about editing videos. That just wasn't my realm. But before you know it, I wound up doing it. And I edited my own videos after a certain point. And it's like, man, I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of stuff that the people who are aspiring to get into the music business have to be willing to learn and consider taking on. Because what happens when you, let's say you put out a record.
Mm-hmm.
You need visuals now. What are you going to do? Are you going to wait for somebody to come along and shoot your video for you and edit it for you? What if you don't have the money to do that?
Right.
You have to be, you got to kind of situate yourself in such a way where you can do that. You don't have to wait on anybody to do it for you. Same thing with songwriting. You could be a dope vocalist. You know how to do all kind of riffs and runs with your voice. But if you don't know how to write your own song, what if nobody's willing to give you a mechanical license to sing their song and do a remake of their song? All you're going to be doing is standing on the corner singing other people's stuff, trying to collect money. But if you develop your writing skills, then you can sit down and forget learning how to program your music or play an instrument. Then you can sit down at a keyboard and play an arrangement and then sing your own lyrics and make your own song. Now you don't have to wait for somebody in between albums to come along and write or produce your next material. And then that's how your fame that you're seeking goes into oblivion. Nobody remembers you because you waited too long to put something else out because you were waiting for other people. So as autonomous as you can be, you should try to be.
Gotcha. Yeah, and I totally agree with that. And I just, again, the board is lit. I don't want to be selfish. I did tell you that I am asking specific questions because I wanted to create a snapshot because I really, truly wanted people to hear you and enjoy your creative process the way that I was able to do that. So I am in a braggadocious mode. I am. Yeah. Like I said, I'm kind of blushing because I'm excited to be, I feel like, you know, in a sense, we're somewhat yoked equally. I won't say equally because you're far advanced than I am. I haven't been able to do that. I do short films, documentaries, and, you know, thank God I won a few awards or whatever. But, I mean, as it relates to music and stuff like that, I really, really connected because you gave me the narrative and you told the story. And today I was like, well, Dad, the music's doing it. What kind of questions do you, you know, you ask after that, but then I realize, again, hey, it's on air, so I can ask these questions. So forgive me if I'm asking questions like, you know, like you're in school or something or you're schooling us, but I do want them to just hear you so that they can hear. Does that make sense or am I not?
No, it's horrible. Yeah. That was horrible, Valerie. That doesn't make sense.
I know,
at all.
Right?
Nope.
Shame on me.
Because you
that.
Got me here. I told you earlier, it's me and Mrs. Jones. It's us, so we got to feel like we're sitting here at the coffee shop or whatever, drinking tea and talking, conversing. So feel free to ask.
But even bigger than that, though, it's like, and I'm calling you Mr. B because I keep messing your name. It's bigger than that. You know, have you ever been so starved for something, right? You've been so starved for such a long time, and then you finally see something. You know how you go to the grocery store and you're hungry, right? And that's really not the time you need to be shopping because you're hungry. Then you're going to buy a whole bunch of crap that you don't need. So it's sort of like that. It's like you fed me in a sense. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, oh, I was just all over the place. I couldn't even figure out how to put the stuff in the paper because it was more about me than the listener. Does that make sense? So I'm doing my very best, Mr. D, to ask you questions that would entertain the listening audience because I literally just want to talk to you about a creative process, about videography, about stuff that I truly enjoy because I haven't had that opportunity since school to talk to anybody on that level about this thing that I enjoy and I really, truly want to do, but it happens not to be paying the bills. So I have to do consulting, you know, I have to do stuff like this. Not that I don't enjoy it, but you want to get me started, you want to rattle the cage, you want to see what Valerie is really made up, give her a camera, give her some editing software, you don't understand that kind of stuff. So I'm doing my very best to talk so people will be entertained and they can get your story, not my story, out of this interview. So damn it, man. Okay, but anyway, last question, because like I said, we do have a lot of young listeners, people who are anxious to get into this industry, and then we're going to cut to break, bring Omar Tyree in, and then we're going to open up the floor for some questions because it's already 40 minutes after. Dang,
time flies when you're having fun. But a lot of people, I realize, are not able to really have a positive relationship. They don't really know how to communicate with their fans. Either they, like you said, doing this for applause or, you know, some hidden agenda, right? But they're not really building that relationship with fans, and there's a very big difference between the fans of yesteryear and the fans of today because our attention span is so short. So you really, truly got to get in and do what you're going to do to build a fan, which will eventually turn into a fan. And those are the people that go hard for you because there's no allegiance or loyalty anymore. They like you today, find it, you know, they love a Nicki Minaj today and a Cardi B tomorrow. So I want to ask you, how do you interact with your fans, and what can you give the people who are getting just entering the entertainment industry? How give them a lesson as to how to interact with their fans so that they'll stay and stay loyal and committed?
Okay, well, social media is something relatively new. I guess. In the time span of the music industry. And it's something that a lot of people resist, including myself at one point. But I had to learn how to embrace it for what it can be. Because a lot of stuff, it's only as good as what you can make it. And I chose to take advantage of it and use it for a good thing pertaining to what I'm doing. It provides a way to get directly at the people who are interested or would be interested in what you're doing. So I had to embrace it. What I do is I communicate with anybody that sends a message to me, like on my YouTube pages, you know, I'll get comments about the videos. I always make it a point to respond to them. And same with my Instagram page. You know, anytime somebody comments and likes or makes, I'll ask a question. I appreciate it. You know, it may be a question that may be out of here, like, well, where'd that come from? But sometimes the dumb questions are the ones that are not asked. Maybe somebody doesn't truly know. So you gotta consider that. And what I do, they got this thing where you can follow it. And I don't want that. I never wanted that. I just wanted it to be organic. I wanted it to be real. And anybody that's following me is somebody that wants to follow. Because it's more real there. You kind of, like you said, the people who are following you, they'll go hard for you when they believe in. When you have just like all of these people following, let's say you buy millions of followers, most of them don't even know you or what it is that you do. So their attention span is zero. You don't really have them, and they'll be out of there. Your following will fluctuate enormously. And I was never really interested in that. I know how it would look to have a million followers, but if I get a million followers, it's going to be people who really follow.
Yeah,
but
definitely.
To sum it up, I think to just communicate with the people who are showing love.
Again, I asked all these questions because I wanted to give people a snapshot of who you are, but also, too, social media has spilled over into our real world, so it's very important that people understand that the fans have an agenda, so they really need to figure out a way to, position their music with purpose, right, but also show us, the fans, the reason why we're attracted to you in the first place, you know, what you really represent, your real true talent. You know what I'm saying? So to sum it up using what you just said, there are three different ways I want to approach this. The first is, again, so you can position it, showcase it in a way that we can appreciate what you do. Because when Mr. B puts out a video or some music, he has a message and stuff he really, truly wants you to hear, right? But you can't hear that if you're looking at how he is rich and you know, he's out here showing all his money in this lavish style, and you know you want that, or, you know, a lot of these women want you to impregnate them, whatever. A lot of people come in with an agenda, and they miss the whole, you know, the experience of following artists, because it's about, hey, how can I change my decimals or whatever. And then the other thing is, too, the last thing is, I said it was in three parts, it, the artist doesn't really get a chance to really just be themselves, you know what I'm saying? Because I can truly tell that you love what you do and that you're showing it through, you know, your work. And that isn't always allowed. Sometimes it isn't even always a welcome in this this industry. So I hope that made sense. Thank you so much for putting up with me, because it was very difficult for me to come up with these questions, because, like I said, I just wanted to talk to you about what I wanted to talk about, but that's not what radio is about.
Well, you know,
that's not why
speaking,
people
you know,
are
me,
on the air.
I can add on to what you were just saying. What you said is
right.
It's really difficult for artists to be themselves at times. And that should be even more incentive for an aspiring artist to do their own thing, to get it where
it
they don't have
pay.
To rely.
But it doesn't pay. It doesn't, you know, doesn't take
it
them
doesn't
to the top.
It doesn't pay in
it,
the beginning. It doesn't pay
right.
in the beginning. But
right.
if you grow it, it can pay in the long run.
Yeah.
And it don't
so
get,
how many
don't
people,
get so,
Mr. B, are really, really patient? How many of these artists that get in are really patient and going to enjoy the process? How many? What do you think the percentage would be?
Well, you either pay now with discipline or you pay for a lack of discipline later.
Right.
And, it,
and I agree
if you
with
get,
you.
Let's say you get by signing with some label who's going to control
right.
everything about you. You get a nice lump sum of money right there. Bang. And then
yeah.
a year later, you get ready to put some new material out, and the label disagrees with it, and they look across the street at another artist that they're interested in. And now they're not trying to put any more investment into what you're doing.
Right.
You're done.
Yeah.
You're done.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
all of that
and
money.
And that's exactly what
yeah,
I'm saying.
You're
we had an
to,
artist on
you're
the other
have to
day.
Carry that.
Who was saying the same thing.
Yeah, you're going to have to try to spread that money over the long period of time that it's going to take you to recoup, regroup, and also develop a skill that can sustain you during those quiet times when you don't have anything out. The money that you're going to need for classes, vocal classes, or class to learn how to play an instrument, whereas if you do that now and develop it and do your own thing, at least get yourself in a way where somebody can't throw you off course, then you'll be all right. You'll be all right.
Yeah.
But as long as somebody is determining what your song is going to sound like, a masterpiece, and the label, they won't want to give you a chance to put it out. Whereas if you got your own thing, you can just put it out when you get ready. Marvin Gaye
right.
went through a hard time when he wanted to put out his What's Going On album. Motown didn't want to do it. Imagine if Motown didn't do it. We'd have never heard that.
Yeah.
Marvin,
and you see, you just reiterated my point. See, that's what I'm saying. When the industry limits you, it limits the creative process because they're looking at the numbers. You see what I'm saying? We had a guy on a few days ago, and he made a very profound statement, and he's like, I can't even express myself because that's not warranted. That's not, you know, it's not what the industry is looking for. It's not what these record execs want. They want, first of all, you got to prove yourself by way of social media. You got to, you know, show them that it's definitely going to be worth it. You know what I'm saying? And then they want you to create music according to a certain agenda or have a certain narrative to be pushing, you know, a certain message. And that's to the detriment in most cases to the fans. You know what I'm saying? Or and then because you come out that way, that may not even be who you are. You come out and you're talking about popping Molly's, this and that, when you really want to talk about something positive, but you're not going to get that check talking about that. And so you push that, even though that may not be who you are, right? You put the mask on, and then you attract the wrong fans. These fans who are saying, well, Dak, that's what he's about. That's what he's about, sex, drugs, and lies. You know what I'm saying? And really you're not. And so now you have all these, you attract these people who want you for that facade that you've created. And so it's just, it's a horrible process the way when you look at it, but it can be a beautiful process, just as you suggested, if you just understand that there's an organic route that you can take, and it may not reap the rewards the way that you want it to at the pace that you want it to, but if you're patient, you can be true to yourself. You can do your thing. You can use social media to your advantage. You can educate yourself. You know what I'm saying? There's so many different ways you can do it the right way instead of the fast way or whatever. And it's just great. So I'm going to give you back to the audience. Thank you so much, Mr. B, for putting up with me. This was fun. I appreciate you.
I'm not going to let you make that comment and not speak to it real quick. All right, now,
okay.
There was a saying that said, I'd rather fail at being myself than to succeed being somebody else or acting in a way that's not conducive with my personality and who I am.
Right.
And as far as the money goes, the money loses value when you're not happy.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
Yeah. I agree.
It
yeah.
is.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, and what I'm going to now play an audio clip, and it's called When They're Gone. Can you go on and intro that for us? And like
oh.
I said, when we come back, we're going to bring in the co-host, Omar Tyree, and also open up the line so that we can allow some people, actually some people in the music industry. I'm very interested to see what kind of questions they want to ask. So we're going to
okay.
do that. So intro When They're Gone for us. And, yeah, we'll just start the show.
Hey, what's happening, y'all? This is Charles Bronson, and this is my song entitled When They're Gone, an ode to Michael Jackson off my Group Hugs album. Right here.
Mike. Though you're gone, you're still here.
Putting joy inside our tears.
We're playing your songs loud and clear
as we celebrate another year.